So you have like a home office, right, Ben?
That's one thing you can call this tiny little dormer area with a curtain that I sit in, yes.
Yes, but like, are you allowed to decorate it how you want?
As long as my wife approves,
Okay.
yes.
You have anything cool on the walls?
Currently, I have a calendar
A
that
calendar.
is DC, like, or Marvel themed.
Our new sponsor can help you out.
Can they?
Yes. If you go to fathead.com, actually, if you click on the link, that is in
Do I see a big picture of you?
yeah. If you click on the link that is in the description of this episode and head on over to our new sponsor, fathead.com, you can get yourself some beautiful decals to put on the wall.
Nice.
Yes. They are high endurance. Oh shoot. What's the material? I can't remember.
Polymer? Plastic?
They're high
Stuff?
endurance plastic.
Vinyl?
Vinyl, that's the word, thank you. Yes, they're high endurance vinyl, so they resist tearing and ripping.
They're made of unstable molecule fabric.
They are self-adhesive. You don't need any special glue to install them. You can get Fat Heads. For those who aren't familiar with Fat Heads, they are beautiful decals that you can use to decorate your walls at home.
They are. I actually have some on my son's walls, and they're very nice, and they've been there for years and
Yes.
have survived his beatings on them, so.
You can not only get your favorite superhero characters as Spider-Man, the Avengers, Batman, but you can also get your favorite sports team logos and helmets and sports characters, and they even have animal-themed ones with
Well,
tiger
they even
stripes.
have the ones that that John would love to have.
My Little Pony.
Yes.
Ah,
You
so.
get one of Rainbow Dash and one of Starscream and have them battle it out on his wall.
I think he should do that.
You should.
John, if you're listening, which we know you aren't, head on over, click on the link in the description of the episode, and buy yourself a Fat Head today.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak. I'm your host Dave.
And I'm Ben.
And John.
And what a wonderful week it's been.
Woohoo!
I just got back from New York Comic Con, and boy, are my arms tired. Oh, wait, sorry. That was bad.
You didn't even
that
put
didn't even
the
make
flying
sense.
set up. So by being at New York Comic Con, that means you saw all the spoilery things, right?
I saw some things. I was, it was crowded. It was,
yeah, I heard it was bigger than San Diego Comic Con, as far
yes,
as the numbers go.
Right, because San Diego, because of the size of the convention hall, is capped at 130,000, and they sold 155,000 tickets to New York this year.
Whoops.
So yeah, it was big. It was huge.
A lot of people waiting in the bathroom to get back in.
Yeah. Saturday, was it Saturday? Yeah, at one point I went into the bathroom and I'm like, nah, there's no way. It was a disaster area.
Oh.
That's what happens when you have thousands of people in a little area. it was fun. But before we get into all that, let's do our Geek of the Week.
Geek of the Week.
Ben, do you remember the question from last week?
I did until a second ago. The original lineup of the Frightful Four. See?
Yes. And what issue, or when did they originally appear?
Ah. I don't have any of those answers.
Why do I keep you around? So.
To use my big boomy voice occasionally.
Okay.
That's because your
beard
does a lot of work.
As the beard of knowledge.
So. Well, we can't keep calling people the honorary beard of knowledge if the beard of knowledge doesn't know the answer to these questions.
I am like the Sphinx. My knowledge is particular and selective, and only useful at the appropriate times.
Oh, okay. So the answer was they first appeared in the Fantastic Four number 36, and the original lineup was the Wizard, Paste Pot Pete, Sandman, and Medusa.
Yes.
And some people might be saying, "Well, Medusa's not a bad guy."
Well,
well
she's
she had
sort
M.
of gone back and forth.
Right, but she had amnesia at the time.
Yes. She's also, she actually was recently in the Fantastic Four as a replacement for a recent run while the Fantastic Four was off in traveling the various expanses of the universe and alternate dimensions. So it's sort of a
slacking.
Yeah, it was a really weird lineup actually, because it was her and Scott Lang and She-Hulk and this character that was like a girlfriend of Johnny Storm at the time, who was a pop singer, who basically got given a thing suit and was known as Ms. Thing.
Right. So
Ms. Thing. Oh, jeez.
Yes. Okay. I'm being fed information as I'm trying to.
Yes. And also the Frightful Four still does recur. I actually was reading a comic with them recently in the, Superior Spider-Man series of things, where it was actually the Wizard once again, but it was with, what's that guy's name? The Claw. And it was weird because it was only three in it, but they were still calling themselves the Frightful Four. It was the Wizard, the Claw, and it was Carnage, wrapped around some other person that they had, sort of volunteered for the job.
Ah, okay. So we actually have a winner this week. Scott Casper, one of followers on Facebook. Congratulations. You are the honorary Beard of Knowledge for the week.
Yay!
That was fanfare.
Was that fanfare? Okay. So, the question for this week. We did a Marvel question, now we do a DC question. And we'll save John's question for next week.
So we're creating a pattern, John? That we have never honored. Continue.
Sweet. It's a new pattern every week.
Yes. Or every other week. So, as we all know, that there is a Captain Marvel or a Shazam movie in the works.
Starring The Rock and The Rock.
Yes. According to Ben's theory, Rock will be playing both Shazam and Black Adam. I'm not really sure I agree with that, but it could happen. And I thought of this question because I never realized something before. I was listening to a podcast this morning that was talking about comic books, surprise, surprise. And
I've heard of this.
And they, first off, they got a email and they issued a correction because they were calling Shazam, Shazam. And they said, oh, okay, Captain Marvel. You know, someone called and complained. However, recently in the New 52, they've been calling him Shazam.
Yeah, and I think they're doing that on purpose.
Well, yeah, because they're trying to drop the Captain Marvel because they're DC. Right. So yes, people, I think he's actually Shazam now. Right. Pretty sure of that. So here's the question. Shazam, Shazam, actually stands for something. It's an acronym. What is the acronym? What does it stand for? That is the question of the week. I had never heard this before until I heard it on the podcast.
Really?
I had to look it up.
I actually knew about this.
And nobody from the other podcast can give us the answer.
Whatever.
Well, they can, because the other podcast was Edumacation with Kevin Smith and Andy McAlbridge.
Oh, never mind.
And
yes.
If either one of them would like to chime in with the answer for what Shazam stands for, go right ahead, guys. All you have to do is hashtag StumpTheGeekSpeak at our Twitter, Superhero Speak, or post it on our Facebook with the answer, and we will gladly name either one of you the honorary Beard of Knowledge for the week. But, you know, you guys are open to answer if either one of you are listening. Come on, Kev.
And if it's not you guys, other people can answer too.
Yeah, that's true.
But Kevin, we love you. Okay. So, next.
So I do actually know, I want to say I know the first one actually. I don't know. Okay. I don't remember any of the rest. No. Here's the thing, because the problem is I get mixed up which ones, like some of the words for the attributes start with the letters as well. And I get them somewhat mixed up with the actual names of the people that they represent.
Yeah, I don't remember any of those attributes starting with Z. That's the problem.
No. The names all start with it, so it's the names.
Oh, those names. Oh, yeah.
Right.
No.
What, so wait, I won't reveal. Don't talk I'll, to let, me. I'll let our listeners figure it out. But I know at least I can think of
three. All right. You guys are giving too much away. All right. So let's talk about the big news that has happened since we last got together, guys. And John wasn't here the last time, you bastard.
Yeah.
So Sony, who we all know is the keepers of our favorite superhero, Spider-Man. I'm sorry, John. Ben and I's favorite superhero, Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Are in talks with Marvel to possibly allow Marvel to use Spider-Man in their movies.
Somebody actually listened to the CinemaSins Jeremy.
Actually, we said it.
Well, they've been listening to us.
Nobody's listening to us, though, Dave.
Yeah. Everyone's listening to us. We have said that, you know, come on, the playground's big enough. There's enough money for you guys to share.
Yeah.
Play nice together.
Yeah, absolutely. We mentioned it, but so, Jeremy had a 15-minute screed on it.
He had a good dissertation on the matter, yes. But yeah, absolutely. And I think this is really interesting. Now, here's the thing. If you had asked me, if you had mentioned this to me a week ago, when this came out, this news came out at least a week ago that they were thinking about this. If you asked me a week ago, I would have said, meh, I don't see the point, because I don't really think even in the comics, he rarely ever really fit into the Avengers. He just sort of, it was a point of acceptance, but he didn't really work with them that well. He's kind of a rogue. He kind of works better on his own. So, you know, the team ups, while the opportunities are there, they're not really necessary. Spidey's, you know, sort of a lone wolf and works better in that capacity. So.
Which is why in the cartoon they've made him the leader of an entire team, right?
Right. Which I like that a bit. It's actually a nice comic or a nice cartoon. But given some of the news of this week, I have changed my story.
Yes. Now, yes, because let's go back here. If it was a week ago, it would have been like, would they do a standalone Spider-Man movie? It doesn't really make sense because they're going to reboot him again. Are they going to include him maybe with the Daredevil show? Why would they want?
Right. Where would he fit?
To use him at this point? They seem to have a plan that's moving forward.
Right. Team up with Age of Ultron.
So
that's even better.
So we'll put a pin in Spidey for right now.
We'll swing back to him later.
We're gonna swing back to Spidey.
All I'm saying is that if they can get Spider-Man in there, that's less time they have for somebody to stick Howard the freaking Duck in there. All right.
I see your point, John, but we're going to move past that because there's other news that is more pressing and more. More important
because we know that
Robert Downey Jr. has been coy about whether he's going to be involved in more movies. We know there's contract stuff because he's running out of movies. But he recently revealed that there may be more things in the works for him.
Yes. The most exciting one is that he's going to be involved with Captain America 3.
Now, you might ask yourself, John, why is that so exciting? You can ask. Go ahead.
Why is it so exciting?
Because
great beard.
Because there are rumors about what that story arc will be about. It may involve the two of them clashing over certain hero registration matters. Yes.
Civil War. Yeah. I thought I saw that someplace else. It wasn't just, just the list. Yeah.
Right.
So Civil War may be coming to the big screen.
The internet has literally
exploded,
had a nerdgasm and exploded over this news because the current rumors, everyone, we're going to say this, is that what happens in Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, coming out next summer, will set up the Hero Registration Act.
Right, we'll set in motion those things, because I'm sure there'll be a bunch of new characters revealed, which we'll call into question by the normal populace. Should we allow these people to be running around, you know, with hidden identities and unknown allegiances?
Wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense, because Age of Ultron is about a killer robot trying to take over the world, and all those costume freaks just save people. So
but not all of them, because there are people involved in this movie that don't start out as good guys necessarily.
Yes. Right. And also, I think they could probably work it in, given the storyline of Winter Soldier and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oof. Okay.
With S.H.I.E.L.D. collapsing and they're discovering there are more metahumans and the government going, oh, we don't have S.H.I.E.L.D. to deal with these people anymore. Let us tell them they have to register if they have a power.
Right.
So.
And who... Now, John, I don't know if you've read the Civil War comics or not, but obviously you're familiar with them.
Yes.
But who is a more pivotal character in that story besides Captain America and Iron Man?
Wasn't it Spider-Man? It was Spider-Man, wasn't it?
It was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So this is where the excitement comes together. This is where Spidey coming back to Marvel is exciting.
Right. Because not only... At the same time that Robert Downey Jr. says he's going to be a Captain America 3 and they're in negotiations with Sony to get Spider-Man back, they announce that next summer there is I can't remember if they're re-releasing or...
So, no, what they're doing is two things. A couple of the events coming up in 2015, they announced they're bringing back Secret Wars.
Right.
And then they're also, in summer of 2015, they're going to have a story arc where they're re-emerging Civil Wars, the Civil War... stuff. I imagine it's not the same one rehashed. It's a new
Civil War 2.
Civil War Part 2.
Electric Bigaloo.
Right. But of course that the promotional art that they released to say, hey, Civil War's coming back in 2015.
Has three of them, right?
Has Iron Man and Captain America each pulling on Spider-Man's arms as if like a tug of war with him, because that was a big pivotal part of the Civil War storyline. So it's like Marvel's putting it in our face.
Yep.
Hey, this could be happening.
Yeah.
I don't know how they could do it though. I mean, if they're going to run the Civil War, what is it going to be, an overarching story arc for the next couple of movies across all the different properties?
Yeah, that's the one point I brought up to Dave earlier is offline at work today is that, I don't know how they could really encapsulate the story into one movie. Like, it'd be difficult. I guess they could do an abridged version of it somehow, but I just find it really, I really question it. Like, how could they really fit the story into a single movie? Because the comic arc was huge. It was a huge sweeping arc of things going on and encompassed so many characters. The other yes. concern I have is like part of what set things in motion for the Civil War story arc to begin in the comics involved Spider-Man's own story arc in relationship to working more with Iron Man and revealing his identity to the Avengers and eventually to the world. Those were all pivotal points and parts of the Civil War story. So the question is, can they really set those things in motion just within the contents of this one movie? Or could this mean that maybe what we haven't heard about yet, and this is a big, big maybe, is that maybe part of the negotiations to get Spidey over into the Marvelverse might also involve some crossover back the other way, and maybe we'll see Iron Man show up in Amazing Spider-Man 3.
There's another thing to consider, too. Do people really want to see the Civil War on the movie screen? I mean, you go to the movies to see, you know, superheroes beat the crap out of bad guys and vice versa. You don't really go there to see a passion play on whether or not mutants should be registered. Oh, wait, that's right. We already
Because we also see stuff, you know, we looked at Winter Soldier, which was political intrigue and had you questioning things. And, you know, people go to see non-superhero movies that are very thought-provoking, such as, you know, things like 12 Years a Slave and other dramas that really, you know, pull at your thoughts on these things, you know, and all the trial movies and things like that.
Yeah, but that still had the bad guys. That still had Hydra and it still had America kicking ass, whereas... X-Men 2 and 3 kind of prove that having the mutant angsty type of, you know, we're against it, we're for it thing kind of doesn't really, you know, even with a lot of action, doesn't really translate well, you know?
The problem wasn't the story arc. The problem was, other parts of the story arc.
And the director, but you know.
All right. Number one, to address Ben's point about the length, it was a 7-part miniseries, but at the same time, crossed over into every single Marvel comic
right.
during the 7 months that it was running, because it was,
right, it was
seven parts released monthly.
Right, and but it was also crossing over like literally like 10 to 15 different titles.
I would think it would have to spill into at least a couple of the Marvel movies.
Yeah, I think there need to be things that set it in motion a little bit. Like there needs to be setup. And maybe that's so keeping that in mind. Let's say Captain America 3 isn't Civil War per se, but maybe it's some of the groundwork for Civil War.
Right.
Then, you know, potentially that means that then there might be some bigger movie. I don't know if it'd be an Avengers 3 type movie or some other type of bigger ensemble cast. That would be the Civil War movie.
Right. I don't know. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. We'd have to wait and see. But, John.
Yes?
Civil War is possibly the biggest event in Marvel Comics history. And it was so big and it was so well written that it sucked me back into reading. It sucked Ben back into reading.
Oh, I'm going to have to go back and read it.
A lot of people I know who read it, pardon me, were sucked back into reading. You know, so it was just a phenomenal idea that, you know, and it was really well written. Of course, a lot of that credit goes to Mark Miller, who wrote the story. Now here's an interesting thing, because here's another theory that has been postulated. Now, in the Civil War storyline, in the comics, they're fighting, and at the end of the story, Cap takes a look around of all the destruction that's being caused, and he just gives up, okay? And then, a few issues later, in Captain America, he gets shot and killed.
Right.
Okay?
Right. That was the original ending that was supposed to be in Civil War.
Right, but in Civil War, he was supposed to be killed at the end of Civil War, and that actually caused Tony Stark to stop. Like, oh my god, I killed my friend, what am I doing?
Right. But, right, they had to go with the cop-out ending because of upper-level dictation of story.
Yes, because, because the editors at the time decided, no, we don't want to kill him here, we want to
make an event of that.
Yeah, we want to make an event of that.
You don't think that they're gonna use this as an exit strategy for Iron Man in the movies, do you?
For Chris Evans?
Chris Evans.
It could be.
A lot of people are speculating it because Chris Evans at the end of Cap 3 is done with his obligation contract-wise, and he has said that he wants to go on to directing. He doesn't want to act anymore, so they're saying maybe that's what they're going to do, is kill him off, do Civil War, kill him off, and then, you know, Bucky will take over for Captain America.
Yeah, but aren't his pecs still under contract? I mean, you know, he has fans.
They get rights
there
to him when he leaves.
Yes.
I don't know. Hey, what Bucky or is it Cap or is it Captain Falcon after that?
Well, we'll see what they make of
well,
it.
Well, we'll see.
Movie
yeah.
I mean, we know the comic universe has had both of them take place of him at different times. But in the movie universe, they're not beholden to it. Yeah. I mean, stupid. He keeps coming back.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll have to see. I do think, people would be more accepting of Bucky in the movie universe than Falcon, just because Falcon has only been in one movie so far, you know, where you've seen Bucky with him through World War II. And then,
well, and he also Soldier. Has capabilities. Like, I mean, well, that's one of the things that's kind of pointed out in Captain America 2 is that, you know, Falcon tries to keep up with Cap and he just can't do it. Whereas, whereas Winter Soldier definitely is a super soldier as well. Has the power, has the abilities.
Well,
so,
he's been cybernetically altered. And besides that,
right,
Falcon's got wings.
Just,
he doesn't have. He doesn't have to run.
Right, but it wasn't just that one arm that he had strength in. He had abilities, you know, in general. So I think that if they were to replace him in the movies, the most logical choice would be Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes.
All right, we'll see. I agree with that. It'll be interesting. That's my fear, is that they might try to tell it in one movie. And they just won't do it justice, you know.
I think they already have enough going on to have to shoehorn this into it, you know. There's a lot of other things they could have done with Spider-Man without.
And the final reason everyone is saying they believe that Cap 3 is Civil War is because it's 2016 is when Cap 3 comes out.
Oh.
And Batman v Superman.
Oh, God.
If they're going to do it, we're going to do it.
See, Marvel doesn't do that, though. Well, I'm sure they do have it on a case.
Yeah, oh, my God, but, yes, they do. I know a lot of people that work for Marvel.
In the movies, they're not doing that. They're not taking their cues from DC. They're giving cues to DC.
Yeah. And besides, if you put up the two movies, Cap 3 versus Batman versus Superman, there's no Batman v Superman's just going to they'll suck up all the air. There's no way Cap 3 would ever be able to compete against that. That would lose them money. They know that if they release it not on the same weekend, they will make money. And if they release it on the same weekend, they will lose money. There's no way they're going to do that. They can't.
Ben. We've had this discussion, John.
Ben, I know. Ben, did you spring a leak?
I did. I sprung a leak. I'm slowly deflating.
Now, hold on. They both said, oh, we're going to release the same day. Who blinked? Who moved their date?
I'll give you a hint. It starts with a D and ends with a C.
Shut up. Still, it still doesn't matter. I mean,
blinked.
As good as the Marvel movies have been, and they are the best by far, DC's got nothing really. But you put Batman versus Superman in a movie, I don't care if it's worse than Batman and Robin from way back. It's still, people are still going to flock to it and see that over any Marvel movie.
I don't know. It's Ben Affleck as Batman. I don't know.
Well, then they're just going for the nipples. Listen, I don't know.
And we've talked about this several times, John, and you know, I will go see both of these movies. I will go see both of these movies in the theater. But if both of these movies did come out the same weekend, I would be watching Captain America 3. No hands.
Yes.
No hold barred. That would be the first one I would go see. And then if I still had time left, I would go see Batman versus Superman.
So, on that note, there was a big announcement also again from New York Comic Con. Marvel announced a bunch of ongoing series that they're launching next year.
Oh, jeez. We've got our work cut out for us already.
So, Hawkeye is going to be getting
his comic series.
Comic series. Hawkeye will be getting his own ongoing series, starting next year.
He's had a series going, I thought. I think maybe they ended it. I'm a little behind.
Yeah. I think, yeah. So they're relaunching it.
Because I liked that
series.
It was well written.
Also, they announced, Silk.
Oh, yeah.
Which is right. Well, who is Silk? I know it's a Spider-Verse character.
Well, I don't know the backstory on Silk, but she's sort of been launched as a new sidekick to Spider-Woman in the controversial Spider-Woman, Amazing Spider-Woman number one launch. I don't recall exactly what her origin is, but she has similar powers to Peter Parker.
Huh.
Right.
Only she does create, I think, her own organic webbing from her fingers.
Okay, which they did with Spider-Man for a little while. And then anyone who has been watching Edge of the Spider-Verse or reading Edge of the Spider-Verse, knows that they have been taking every month. It's a new writer, new artist, and they say write a Spider-Man story that isn't canon. They had a horror version. They had a bunch of what if different stories for Spider-Man. There was one where the horror one was like, what if, it just turned him into a giant spider when he got bit by the radioactive spider
Been there, done that, though.
Right. But this was more, he, hungered for flesh and, goes going around killing
zombie
people.
Spider.
No, the fly kind of.
Ooh. Throw up kind of spider.
But anyway, in one of the stories, it was Gwen Stacy.
Oh, yeah, I did see something about
gets
that.
Bitten. So she has been dubbed Spider-Gwen, and it got such positive reviews that she will be getting her own ongoing series.
Nice.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
The Beard of Knowledge approves.
In a
different continuity.
Okay.
It would be a different universe, parallel universe.
Not the 616 universe. So, yes, that's there is a new Ant-Man series that's coming as well from Superior Foes of Spider-Man writer Nick Spencer.
Interesting.
So that's something to look forward to as well. obviously to get people ready for the new movie.
Of course. They got to promote their movies with their comics.
Oh, okay. So the Hawkeye title that's launching. The Hawkeye title that's launching is actually being launched by writer Matt Fraction and David Ajay, who are concluding their run on Green Arrow.
Oh.
So they're going from one Archer to the next.
Nice. Hopefully they don't get them confused.
Hopefully not. No. Yes. Hawkeye wears purple. Green Arrow wears green. Yes. I think we're fine there.
No, but there was a recent Hawkeye run that was a very simple lo-fi graphics. And it was really an interesting take and a really interesting version of the story arc. And I definitely, if you've got spare time, most of it's on Marvel Unlimited, and it's worth a read.
Okay.
It also plays around with, because there are actually two Hawkeyes in the Marvel Universe. There's the original Clint Barton, and there's he takes on a protege of this young girl who also takes on the name. I can't remember her name though.
Interesting. So, obviously not to be outdone by Marvel, DC announced their new titles at New York Comic Con this past weekend. These are going to be DC digital titles that are coming. Mm-hmm. And the first one, I don't know how many people are still excited for this franchise, but Mortal Kombat X.
Mortal Kombat X, because they're all mutants.
Oh, for crap's sake. Again.
But they're not allowed to say mutants. That's Marvel.
I'm just playing with the X.
Oh, God.
And they're angsty, too.
And then there will be a title, Fables, The Wolf Among Us, based on the Telltale Games from Vertigo Games. Okay. I don't know that game. Sorry. I'm not a gamer. So, yes. But the one I found fascinating from this story, you all know that they have launched the series Batman 66.
Right, which is basically Adam West in the comics. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Based on the Adam West TV show, it's that continuity, those villains.
But those aren't new, they dug them like up. This. That's what the series was based on, right? I'm joking.
Oh, yes. So in light of the success of Batman 66, they're launching Wonder Woman 77.
Oh, no.
Because everything's better based when you turn it to 11. Or factors thereof.
Well, no, it's based on the 1977 Wonder Woman television series that starred Linda Carter.
Actually, she is an awesome Wonder Woman. After the pilot.
But I don't think she's literally starring in the comic book. So it's really up to the writers to match that.
She's starring in it as much as Adam West is starring in his comic book.
Well, I haven't read that either.
Well, actually, no, it's funny. With the Batman 66 comic book, one of the things they had to do was go to all of the estates of all the actors who were on the show and get permission to use their likenesses in the comic book.
Interesting.
And of course they're going to
say. And Adam West only agreed as long as he could voice the part as well.
Yes, exactly. Because you know how there's the voices in the comic books.
They really should be doing that, though. That would be awesome.
Yes, and they'll be doing the same thing with Wonder Woman 77. So, yeah, no, in fact, for those who read Batman 66, you might be aware that recently they just came out with Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, a crossover comic, and which was supposed to be like a continuation of the classic Batman 66 TV episode where he met the Green Hornet.
So really, it's Batman meets Kato and his ridiculous sidekick.
And
Batman and, meets the grandson of the Lone Ranger.
Yes. But in the original series, the villain was like Colonel Gum or something, and they couldn't get the rights. They didn't have the rights from the actor's estate to use his likeness. So what they did when they wrote, cause Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman wrote that series, that story. So what they did is they made it so that he was in an accident and his skin became like gum, pliable and mushy. So he was deformed so they could get around not having the rights of the act, to look, have it look like the actor originally.
Is the creator of Clayface going to sue?
No, because he was pink.
Yes.
So. We changed the color. Totally different.
He looked like chewed up bazooka.
Oh.
Well, considering they're both DC properties, I think it's fine. Perhaps. So it'll be interesting. So keep an eye out for that, boys and girls, because, you know, nothing says new ideas like
rehashing old ideas.
Sorry, DC. You're losing again. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, trust me. I'm sorry. Really sorry.
But speaking of Wonder Woman, they have, at New York Comic Con, they revealed what her origin will be in the Batman.
Bull. It's Bull.
In the Batman v Superman movie.
I can't even let you.
Ugh. Not a fan. Okay. See, I'm not as vested in this one, John. This is definitely your ballpark. I am just happy. I will just say this off the bat. I am happy to hear about this origin only because it validates that her origin will not be that of a, earlier batch of Kryptonians who came to Earth.
Yeah, I'll grant you that. It's better. It's way better than that. So still.
So.
All right. So what John is so upset about and what he can't bring to words is that they are not using her original origin from the comic books where she was molded from clay and came to life, but that they're using her new 52 origin where she is a demigod born of
Hippolyta and Zeus.
Hey.
Yeah.
Respect it.
Gobbledygook.
She's a hippopotamus, okay? What do you
want? Part hippopotamus, so, part lightning.
God.
Yes. So, that's the origin, you know, they've changed her origin in the new 52. That's a little more acceptable, apparently, than her being made of clay. I don't know.
Well, I would argue that is slightly more logical than being made out of clay, but they're still introducing demigods and Greek gods as canon in this, essentially through this, which is a different pill to swallow.
True. But but the thing is that her coming life from clay was sort of a collaboration between Hippolyta and Hades. And Hades is a very interesting character from which they've gotten a lot of play out of over the years. Doing another, you know, triangle between Hippolyta, Zeus, and of course you're going to have Hera that comes in at some point because it's just such an overused plot device.
Why wives don't approve of the mistresses of their husbands ever? I don't understand.
Yeah, but
so it's been done. Wait, are you trying to say something to your wife? Hold on. Ben, do we need to have an intervention here? Okay.
By the way, when you say Hades, spell that for me, John.
Hades.
That would be Hades.
Yes, it could be Hades. Yeah. You could say it Hades.
It could be. Everyone says Hades.
Tomato, it is. Tomato.
This is not a tomato-tomato situation.
Not in ancient Greek, damn it. Remember,
this
I'm the
is
one
more
who
of a tomato-tomato situation.
Yeah.
Tomato-tomato? I like that. Would you like some tomato on your sandwich?
Let's call the whole thing off. Anyway, yes.
Tomato.
Yes,
no
you could
say
no
one says tomato.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying that the whole Zeus, Hera, oh my, you have another child by another Earth woman thing has been way overdone, and
it's the foundation of all of Greek mythology, though. It's always about Zeus hitting up some random Earth girl and Hera being all in his grill about it. That, I think that's how it's written in the original.
Yes, Homer in the Hood, right?
Yes.
Doesn't that make Wonder Woman basically?
Homer wrote, and she was all up in his grill.
The DC version of Hercules.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, I you look at like Xena and the Hercules legendary journeys and just about any of the movies and it's all, oh, Hera, oh, Zeus and this, that, the other thing. And just there's really no reason to change that whatsoever, except for it was on somebody's hit list that, oh, you know, that really always bothered me. And now they have the power to change it. Yeah. Seriously, it doesn't add anything. I think it only takes away.
Well, that's another thing, though. I mean, because let's admit it, everyone, the new 52, though it was a good idea when they started, it became change for the sake of change in a lot of
things. Yeah, I mean, it was the DC's answer to the Ultimate Universe that Marvel had started. You know, they was their way of rebooting their universe to be cleaner and have less backstory and less history and basically reinventing their characters in the modern era.
And to take away some of their personalities.
Right. Well, that's writer's fault. But I don't know. My issue with this choice, with any of these types of choices, for her origin is a little bit bigger. Because here's my concern, and the article where I read about this justifies it as being okay because Marvel sort of already did the heavy lifting with Thor. But we've discussed this particular matter on the show several times in the past, that Thor in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is not a Norse god, nor are any of the people that he's associated with. They are aliens from another dimension, another part of the universe, where their magic is actually advanced technology. So they kept it grounded, they kept it blended in, and we know that's still going to be a weird thing to blend in with Doctor Strange in the future. But here, DC is basically saying, yeah, I know we made Superman's origin dark and gritty and grounded, but screw it, here's gods. Gods are real.
Pretty much.
We're not going to explain what they are or how they exist or any of that right now. Unless they do, which is probably going to annoy the crap out of all of us. Because they'll say, oh, well, the gods were actually the original Kryptonians, and screw you guys.
Right. It's funny. That's exactly what it says in the article. Marvel has done the heavy lifting with Thor. Audiences are presumably primed to accept Greek mythology as part of the DC universe. Wrong.
Right.
Pay attention to the movies, people, when you're going to write these
articles. But it was already accepted. It just wasn't in your face all the time, you know? I mean, well, they had storylines, but usually those revolved around Wonder Woman or Dr. Fate or, you know, that whole crew. And you didn't see it as much in the main titles like Green Lantern, Batman, Superman, The Flash, because that part of the DC universe really didn't interact with the other one. Except in places, you know, sometimes you get a crossover and Batman Superman would fight Hades and you'd have the whole, he's invulnerable, but Hades is really a god and he's got magic. And so Superman's vulnerable to that. And you know, it actually made some of the storyline, some of the more interesting storylines that you've ever gotten out of it. So I don't mind the idea of gods so much because we know that there's magic and, you know, there could be higher forms of magic.
Magic. But, we know there's magic how, though? Where are you bringing magic into this?
Well, you've got, I mean, Dr. Fate and...
I understand. Zatanna, all right. And... I'll pause you there. Yes, in the comic book universe, it's all established. And even in some of the cartoons, it's all established. But the cinematic universe is its own entity. And they've gone to great lengths to basically take Superman down a notch and make him, you know, more grounded and gritty as this alien who happens to have advanced abilities because of the Earth's atmosphere and basically a differentiated origin from his original origin story and the original set of powers or the various versions of it. And now they're going in and taking a 180 and saying, now we're going to introduce a character that totally doesn't fit in this universe and drop her directly into it as pre-existing.
I don't see the problem.
Okay.
I mean, look at it. I mean, Superman is still invulnerable. He could probably still take a nuke to the chest. So if to balance that out, if you introduce Wonder Woman and one of her parents is freaking Zeus, then she's definitely going to have the power to at least stand up to him, maybe not quite beat him. But if you introduce the idea of gods, then you've got other beings that may have to interact with somebody who supposedly doesn't have any weaknesses and may be able to balance out the storylines, you know, actually give him a challenge, which Hades has done in certain storylines and in at least
Yes, I'm sure Hades has shown Superman plenty of times.
Shut up. Wow.
And has contested with One Deer Woman several times in various storylines.
You know, it's not super. How did you say?
Superman.
Superman.
You're putting it the wrong.
It's Superman. It's Superman. It's his last name. It's
like
you're putting Superman. The wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
See, we're pronouncing the name of this movie all wrong. It's Batman versus Superman. It's a legal battle.
Oh my god!
It's a custody battle over something. Yes,
over Wonder Woman. Speaking of custody battles over Wonder Woman,
continue.
This wasn't in the list, guys. I sent.
All right,
I'm sorry.
I disapprove.
So, speaking of New 52, also being changed for the sake of change, we all know that they've now made Wonder Woman and Superman a couple in the movies. I mean, in the comics, because God forbid he dates immortal.
Yes, I'm not going to get into the logistical concerns of that type of relationship, but they kind of skirted them in Smallville off and on.
They don't like telling interesting stories in DC anymore. Yeah. Anyway, so what happened to poor old Lois Lane? Now she's dating Batman.
Really?
In the comics.
Oh, in the comic.
Yes.
I thought they killed her, or was that all a ruse?
Apparently that was all a ruse. That was before the launch, wasn't it? No, it was right at the launch. Yeah. But no, they didn't kill her. And yes, apparently Batman has a thing for Lois Lane. He's got a bat thing for her.
Did he go up to her and say, "Hey, I'm Batman."
That's how he gets all the checks, right?
You know, I took those guys down.
So,
because I'm Batman.
So basically, people.
Oh, you won something.
Continue.
Yeah, I look, I don't know what's going on over at DC.
A lot of shrooms.
But that's what it seems like. I mean, come on, like, really? Batman has had plenty of other love interests in the past. Now you're gonna throw him Superman's ex? Really?
Oh, maybe.
I'm sorry.
Maybe they're doing it just to clean it up later and make the interaction between Superman and Lois Lane much more interesting. Because everything's interesting when you both have X's, especially when both X's wear spandex.
So we're turning the DC comic book universe into the CW universe.
Exactly. Hey, look, you know, they've already turned it into the CW.
I'm going to be sick.
Turned it into the CW because Wonder Woman, the personality they gave Wonder Woman is that of a spoiled princess brat. And I just, you know, I'm really kind of missing the very mature, very sophisticated Wonder Woman that balanced being a warrior along with being, you know, a political figure. And, you know, just it was just so much better, so much deeper, so much more you could do with the storylines. It just, it, what they've done is,
yeah,
is just, hey, what are you telling women and girls who read these comics? You know, that you can't, that a woman is nothing but a spoiled brat with super strength.
Right. But not only that, and I totally agree with that. But not only that, they're also saying that it doesn't make sense for Lois Lane and Superman to date because she's just a lowly human and doesn't have powers and she's not good enough for Superman. It has to be someone with powers. Like,
so they're saying,
what are you saying?
Kind? Is that what they're saying, basically?
Yeah, exactly. Like, is that the message you really want, DC? I mean, you justified t-shirts that said, what was it? Batgirl, Batman's wife in training?
they're definitely, making questionable decisions.
So, guys, get your act together over there.
Yes, please, from a real fan, do something.
Oh, and I saw this article and I included it in the list. And I only included this because I saw another article related to this today. Is they're saying, you know, people are on the outside looking in at Batman v Superman are saying that not even DC and the people making the movie have confidence in the movie. And they point to articles like this.
We can't see you.
As proof. Where this article came out and the producer of Batman v Superman – in an interview was defending Ben Affleck as the choice for Batman. But I thought we were past this.
Well,
so why do we still need to defend him?
Because they like to beat dead horses. Metaphorically, hey. John. Metaphorically. Hey,
thank you.
So, yeah, it's funny because I looked at that article and I find it kind of weird. I didn't read the whole thing because, you know, I'm lazy. TLDR. But I found it wasn't really an encouraging thing because he basically said he was the first guy they went to, which meant they didn't really come together with much of a list. And second, they seemed like their general reasons for picking him is because he's older and tall. So, like, they wanted someone with a big enough statue so they could tower over Henry Cavill.
Oh, we all know why they really hired him. They brought him in for a screen, for a reading, and they saw his chin come around the corner 5 minutes before he did, and they hired him right off of that.
Yeah. I mean, all that said, though, I would only take the ramblings of a producer with so much weight, because the producer is just sort of facilitating, you know, getting the movie made. They're not taking an active role in things on the level that the director and casting director and people like that and the writers are taking in the movie.
Right, right. And they were very producer-like things to say. Oh, well, he's taller and he's older.
It's spin-type things that you say, oh, this is why we did it. You know, and when he's sort of slightly removed from really the discussions that happened and making those decisions.
Yeah.
You know.
So I don't know. Take it with a grain of salt, people. I don't think it's going to be a bad movie. I just don't know if it's going to be the superhero movie of all time.
Although
I do
think it's weird mentioning the fact that they wanted him to be taller, because I always picture Batman being shorter than Superman. It seems like a weird paradigm.
I think a lot of people picture that too, but then I think he crouches a lot, and I think Superman, they draw him floating a lot.
Maybe.
So, you know, it's tough to say. If who's taller. You know, I know, it's a stupid reasoning. And it's only 3 inches.
Yes, I know.
It's not like he's towering over him. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so, wow, we are getting there, guys. We're at about an hour. You had an article, didn't you?
Did I? What did I have? I think we talked about the article I had, unless there was something else.
About Gillian Anderson?
Oh, right. So it's a little off topic from our normal discussion items, but Gillian Anderson had recently been in an interview talking about things, and they asked her about whether there was any hope for X-Files 3, and she gave a little bit more fuel to that fire, saying just, you know, basically keep your eyes peeled, and they're interested in getting the band back together and all that.
The sequel is out there?
Right, the sequel is out there. But she also mentioned very enthusiastically that, because with all the talk recently with the possible Ghostbusters reboot and recasting with a female team, she said she would love to be part of that lineup.
Right.
Like she basically said, you know, Paul Feig, cast me now, start a Twitter position, I'm free, and I'm funny, and goddamn it, make it happen. So she very enthusiastically would love to be a Ghostbuster. And honestly, I could actually see her playing, you know, an Egon-like character very well.
I'm for that. I'm behind that.
I'll go with that.
At least.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to do an all-female Ghostbusters, then I'd like to see an actress of her caliber.
Exactly. Agreed.
You know, not.
Holy crap! Did we all just agree?
I think.
Oh my god.
or ill, or both.
Or it's gonna snow.
Yes.
Well, I know I've had at least 2 glasses of wine, so hey.
Well, so, but you have to think though, John, we're all agreeing that Gillian Anderson will be awesome in a role that obviously she would be awesome in.
Yes, and not because she looks good, but because she's a good actress and she'd bring attitude.
Right, her hotness factors into this none whatsoever, except that it's also
a little bit. Yes. Yes.
So yes, I did find that an interesting tidbit, and I was glad you brought it to my attention today, Ben. I do have something to say before we wrap up. I was at New York Comic Con this weekend, and everyone knows I work the cons all the time. And this was a very crowded con. This was a very busy con, but I mean, you hear the same kinds of things from people all the time. And I just kind of wanted to address a couple of things. One of the things you hear from people all the time, they complain about people charging for things, you know, like people charging for autographs, people charging for sketches, you know. And I just want, like, especially the artists. And I just want to put this out there, you know, the artists, that's how they make their money, is by doing their art. So if you walk up to them and say, can I get a sketch? And I go, sure, it'd be $100. Don't get upset at the artist and walk away and go, oh, I can't believe you're charging that. Because if you're an accountant and somebody walked up and said, oh, I really like how you do accounting, would you do my taxes for free? You would say no, because you're an accountant and that's how you make your money. So just when you go to a convention, people, keep that in mind when you're talking to artists. Oh, you know, I just think people need to keep this in mind.
And this is Dave explaining capitalism to us. Thank you, Dave.
Yes. Well, no. But what I'm saying is when people are at the convention and they're talking to an artist, they forget what capitalism is right away. And they want everything for free.
I worked for an artist. Yeah, I worked for an artist there once. What, 2 years ago, was it, Dave? I forget now. But,
yes.
But those guys, those artists, they don't make a whole lot of money, even if they've got, you know, like cover art in DC and Marvel and Xenoscope and wherever. These guys aren't making a whole lot of money. You would not believe how hard these guys were working during that con while I was there. And I was actually sitting there hawking their wares and getting people to come over to the booth to buy prints. But this is the only way they make real money. They don't seem to make I mean, Dave, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it didn't seem like they made a whole lot of money actually doing the covers themselves. What they made, what the real money they made was turning that into prestige, which they could then go to these cons and sell more prints and sell their, you know, autographs with. And actually that's where they made their money for food.
Yes. And also people need to keep in mind, like, especially with the artists, most of the artists that are in Artist Alley have to pay for that table that they're sitting at. And if you're at, let's say, Atlanta, let's say you're in a lot of them are from New York. So New York's tough, but you're in San Diego. You're in any of the other cons. You're in Philly. They're not from those areas. So guess what? They have to pay for a hotel. They're doing all this to come out and meet you, the fans. So should they just pay for the honor to meet you, or should you give the love back to them? You know, they made sure they made an effort to come to a convention so they could meet you because you're a fan of theirs, and they had to put money out to do that. So if they're charging for an autograph, they're charging for a print, or they're charging for a sketch, say, oh, you know what? I appreciate you and your work. I will pay for that, you know, and not complain. So I just wanted to put that out there. There was some bitching online the last couple days about stuff from New York Comic Con, and I don't think it's right. So,
well, on that note, I have a lighter note we can end on.
Oh, so, good. Sorry.
It's okay. So I found, I just in randomly not listening to and perusing the internet.
as our conversation terminally goes.
I found someone summarizing the Civil War impact in the Marvel Cinematic Universe very well. And I can read it to you because it's just a couple lines of, so I assume this is one of the non Iron Man characters. Let's say this is Captain America. He's like, we can't let them reveal our secret identities. It would be wrong. And then Iron Man responds, we don't have secret identities. You've been famous since 1943. I literally landed in the armor at a convention named after myself while surrounded by Iron Man themed dancers. Thor is just Thor, and everyone else's identity was leaked by Natasha. Thank you very much. How does this affect the, I don't know. There was a word on the tip of my tongue, but I forgot it.
You could put it in another way.
That being mutants, I assume.
No. Saying you could put the whole controversy in another way. You have one side going, no secret identities. The second side going, yes, secret identities. And then both sides going, crap, here comes the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes. But no, oh my God, that's actually... That's a great point, Ben. That so far,
right, there's like seven people, really, and
there's seven people, and they don't really have secret identities.
Now, that said, in truth, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is setting up for way more characters. I mean, they've introduced Absorbing Man already this season and Blizzard, and I'm sure that that list is going to grow, and we'll see some of that crossover into the cinematic universe. And we've also seen that, obviously, there's Baron Von Strucker, who has been cultivating new metahumans over in his projects. So it's not so simply summarized, per se.
Yes, but we shall see. So, on that note, as always, ladies and gentlemen, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+, at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape.
Superhero Speak promo, take one. Get your promo done.
So do you read comic books? Do you enjoy comic book movies? Well, then you should be listening to Superhero Speak.
What's that, Dave?
It is a weekly podcast where we talk about comic book movies, TV shows, cartoons, and all other things comic book related.
That sounds great. Who hosts it?
Well, I host it.
Oh, I'm out.
We also have Ben. You're one of the hosts.
Oh, you lost me.
Okay. We also have John.
I'll do anything for money.
If John's there, I might show up every once in a while.
And occasionally we have Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Once in a while, when things are rough on the budget, I might step in and help out.
It's a good thing we have that padding in the budget to have him show up every once in a while.
He shows up for Oreos and orange juice. So I don't know.
Have you seen his IMDb page? He needs the work. Really.
The Headless Horseman was a hell of a role. Hell of a role.
If you want a podcast that feels like the conversations that you have in your local comic book shop, then you should check us out on superheroespeak.com, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Podcasters, I'm going to have you redo that entire promo. It wasn't working for me at all.
It was the plaid and the stripes, wasn't it?
Listen, you had an hour at Mood. I don't know what you did with your time.
Mostly slingshotting bow ties.
So, Mr. Gunn, what is your favorite comic book?
Personally, I like The Adventures of Superman because I love that costume. It's so skin tight and it's adequately designed.
Have you ever heard of the Ambiguously Gay Duo?
I have not.
I think you would enjoy them.
Oh, it sounds naughty. David, you rascal.
Oh my gosh. Holy.